goodness. No what? Well, I'm laughing because I was sitting back there right before I come up here. I heard this song. We used to sing it at Faith Restoration years ago, I think. I can't even remember all the song, but I'll just tell y'all the parts I heard. Y'all may know it. It says, I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. Y'all remember that song? That's a good one to have, ain't it? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? Glory to God. So we just praise Him and give Him thanks at all times in all things, right? In every circumstance, He's still good. No matter what we go through, what we face, no matter what, we can praise Him because He's always the same. He's always good. It's always the things He does for our benefit, for our goodness, right, for our blessing. Even chastisement, the Bible talks about when you get chastisement, you know, don't take it the wrong way, but yield to it. Because afterwards it what? Yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. You know, we shouldn't just punish our kids in some way just to be punishing or to get them off of our last nerve, right? But it should be for their good, amen? And God does the same thing to us. So even if it's chastisement, it's still for our good. Because He's good all the time. The Bible says, oh, taste of Him and see that He's good. You know what that means? Experience Him. I can look at an apple. Sandy can tell me what an apple tastes like. I can look at it. I can feel of it. I can smell of it. But until I taste it, I don't really know exactly how good it is. The Lord's the same way. You might say, what you doing? I'm just waiting. You might think, well, get on with it. Well, you're not the boss of this. I'm not the boss of this, right? That's part of the problem sometimes. We just want to do our own thing and hurry in church and get the word. No, that was a good one. Go out the door. We can't even tell you what it was about or anything. That stuff does you no good. Same as just trying to speed read your Bible because you didn't get up early enough to read it. You know, that doesn't do no good. We shouldn't just speed read that. You ever seen somebody that they're very hungry or maybe they just don't have good manners and you sit down to eat with them and they're just... What do you think about that? I don't think they're enjoying it much. I don't think they're doing much tasting. Now, you take somebody like Travis. I told you he was in this message, and I didn't even know it here. You take somebody like Travis, he likes to savor the flavor. You know what I mean by that? He gets a bite, and he puts it on this side of his mouth, takes his tongue, rolls it around to this side of his mouth while it's open because he's got to experience the flavor. And the fullness. And I don't think he does it anymore. Beth could tell us, but sometimes he would be eating and he'd go, Aiden did the same thing when he was younger. He don't do it anymore that I know of. So what's that mean? It means you gotta take time. Right? You gotta take time. Don't be in a hurry. This is not our service. This is God's, right? We adhere to Him. We serve Him. He doesn't serve us. And the good thing about it is, if you wait and let Him come and take up with us and us take up with Him, it's good. It flows. It's like that song, rolling, rolling, rolling on the river. And you say secular song. Well, I can't help it. That's just what come up. I can't see no sin in that. We're rolling on the river, right? The river of God. The Bible talks about it. Amen? Oh, sometimes He's funny. Well, title this morning is called Diligence. Ooh, thank y'all for that quite a bit of enthusiasm. Woo! But when you learn and know what it'll do for you, you'll be excited. If you got your Bible, let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 1. I'm going to be reading all this in the Amplified. Beth will put it on the screen. It says, Simon Peter, servant and apostle, a special messenger of Jesus Christ, to those who have received, obtained an equal privilege of like precious faith. That's us, right? So he's talking to you. He's talking to me. with ourselves in and through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. May grace, God's favor, and peace, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts, be multiplied to you in the full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge, notice that, knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. For his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Amen. He says, through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by and to his own glory and excellence virtue. He says, by means of these, what? These promises, right? That's what he's been talking about. He has bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them, through what? The promises that he's bestowed on us, right? You may escape by flight from the moral decay, rottenness, and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, which is lust and greed, and become sharers, partakers of the divine nature. For this very reason, adding your diligence to the divine promises, employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue, which is excellence, resolution, Christian energy. And in exercising virtue, develop knowledge, which is intelligence. And in exercising knowledge, develop self-control. And in exercising self-control, develop steadfastness, patience, endurance. And in exercising steadfastness, develop godliness, piety. And in exercising godliness, develop... Boy, there's a lot of exercise in this, ain't there? And in exercising godliness, develop brotherly affection. And in exercising brotherly affection, develop Christian love. For as these qualities are yours and increasingly abound in you, they will keep you from being idle or unfruitful unto the full personal knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. For whoever lacks these qualities is blind, spiritually short-sighted, seeing only what is near to him, and has become oblivious to the fact that he was cleansed from his old sins. Because of this, brethren, be all the more solicitous and eager to make sure, to ratify, to strengthen, to make steadfast your calling and election. For if you do this, you will never stumble or fall. That's amazing right there. He says, thus there will be richly and abundantly provided for you entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is a mouthful. And a lot of exercising going on. But go back up there to, verse 5. He says, for this very reason, adding your diligence. The word diligence, I looked it up in this particular verse because at different places it'll say a little bit different, more added to it or whatever. It says it means eagerness, earnestness, carefulness, forwardness, haste. Now, if you see a diligent person, what's some of the things that you see if you didn't use the word diligent? Maybe constant, persistent. Like this, if you're going to lose weight, you got to what? Be constant and persistent. Why? Weight don't fall off in a week. Maybe a pound or two, you know, if you're doing pretty good. But it sure don't come off overnight. So what do you got to do? Be persistent. Be constant. In other words, you could say be diligent to do whatever it is you got to do. So he's telling us here, add diligence to all of this. In other words, add your persistence to this. Stay on this. Because let me tell you something. This separates the men from the boys from the girls. Because see, all these promises have been given to every born-again believer. But how come some are not experiencing those promises? He says here, exercise your diligence to add to your faith. See, it's not faith is not all we need. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, talking about Abraham, he says, follow after those who through faith in what? Patience. You can put some patience in diligence. If you're going to be diligent, you're going to have to be a patient person, right? Why? Because you keep doing it today when it looks like it ain't happening. You keep talking about it tomorrow when it looks like it ain't got here yet. Amen? So we have to be diligent to add all these things, he said, and if we do, we'll never fall and we'll never stumble. That's amazing. That I would never fall and I would never stumble. But the word is true, amen. But notice down there in verse 8, he talks about, he says, "For as these qualities are yours and increasingly abound in you, they will keep you from being idle or unfruitful." Over and over, especially in the book of the Old Testament. But then from the beginning, God said what? Be fruitful. Right? Didn't he? Wasn't just talking about him having kids. He was supposed to take the blessing all over the entire earth, right? North, south, east, and west, the blessing. Be fruitful and what? Multiply. That's total opposite of idle and unfruitful. Jesus himself over in Luke 19:13, he said, "Occupy until I come," right? That word occupy, when you look it up, it means do business. And he's not just talking about to a businessman, but he is talking about to a businessman. You know, you may be a stay-at-home mom. You got business stay-at-home mom. Oh, here we go. But some stay-at-home moms is not doing their business. They're what? Idle. I can't get ahead of myself here because I got to get the scriptures out before I go start saying all that other stuff that's in here. Let's see here. I think I want to go to Hebrews 11. Very familiar scripture. Probably everybody in here might could quote it. Hebrews 11:6 in the Amplified. He says, "But without faith," notice that, "it is impossible." Not that you might not, you might hit and miss. No, it's impossible. He says, "But without faith, it is impossible," or you could say you're believing, "it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to him," talking about God. "For whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly and what? Diligently seek him out." Now, I told you one of the definitions in the word diligence is earnestness and eagerness. But he says there, he says, "believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him out." Shows you why some people's not getting a reward. We're getting too quiet. Right? Because he didn't say those who just seek him. He said those who diligently seek him. That means you're in earnest about it. You're seeking him with all of your heart. You're seeking him in the morning. You're seeking him at the noontime. You seek him at night. The Bible says in all of our ways to acknowledge him, right? In Proverbs 3, and then he will direct our path. That's part of seeking him. And you do that diligently. And he says you will be rewarded. Why? Because another scripture says God is not unfaithful to forget your labors. Right? He sees everything we do. Everything we do. Everything we think. Everything we say. And if we seek him diligently, he will reward us. Proverbs 6. So by faith, we diligently seek him, right? Reckon part of coming to church would be part of diligently seeking him. Or just listening online in our pajamas. See, what a lot of people don't get, they think it's just going to a building, you know, and hear a good preaching or something or another. But no, a lot of people don't realize. See, every one of us, it costed us something to get here this morning. Some more than others. I mean, I know people, some people, you know, they'd be doing good. A married couple have a baby and start, "I can't come to church because my baby's this." Who's running that house? That baby. Not God and not the parents or the grandparents or whoever it is. I mean, you got a lot of raising of different things nowadays. But what a lot of times it is, God looks at the effort and the cost that it cost us to do what we know to do. Just like when you get up in the mornings or Saturday, you lay your clothes out for church. If you do, what are you doing? You're getting ready. You're diligently getting ready to what? Go and seek the Lord. The Bible talks about how there was five wise virgins and there was five foolish virgins. Some had plenty of oil, more than enough, but not enough to give to everybody else. But those that didn't have enough, they had to do what? Leave and go out and get some, the Bible says. And while they was gone to get them some oil, the Bible says that the master came. And when he came, the door was closed. What made the difference? Wisdom seeks diligently. Wisdom is ahead. Y'all hear what I'm telling you? Wisdom will think 2, 3, 4, 5 steps ahead. Because he said those that don't do those things, he said they only see what's near to them. You can only see what's right here in front of you. But wisdom, you add diligent, and with the wisdom of God, you'll be thinking and seeing 3 and 4 or 5 steps ahead. Why? You are prepared when you are diligent. When you're not diligent, the dog ate my homework, and I don't know what happened to that, and, you know, I got in the bed late, and excuses. Lazy, slothful people make excuses. What did I tell y'all? Proverbs 6? Yeah, okay. All right, let's look at that. I'm going to start in verse 4 here in the Amplified. He says, give not unnecessary sleep to your eyes. Now, let me say this before we get started, because you always get people run off on something you're not saying. We are made to sleep. You understand that? God made us that way. According to the doctors, everybody's supposed to get about between 7 to 9 hours of sleep. I don't agree with that. I think every person is individual. I don't sleep that much. 5 hours usually, and I'm pretty good, you know. Where Scotty, he sleeps more. But he can be asleep like that where I don't. So, I mean, we lay down to take a nap or something other, probably less than 3 minutes he's asleep, snoring, you know, and then it takes me longer, you know. So I got to lay over there longer. 20, 30 minutes, that man is like he slept 6 hours and he goes again. But anyway, we're made for sleep. We're supposed to have sleep. But how many knows anything too much gets in excess, and that's where it becomes wrong? And that's what he's talking about here. Because he says, give not unnecessary. How many know some sleep is unnecessary? Shouldn't be sleeping. You ought to be doing something. He says, give not unnecessary sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. I guess that's talking about, you know, when you wake up and you're doing like this and you're trying to determine whether you're going to get up or not. Maybe that's what that is. He says, deliver yourself as a roe or gazelle from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Now, we wouldn't say that word. We wouldn't say, Samantha, you sluggard, you. What would we say? Samantha, you lazy bones, you. Or whoever. Just I was looking at you at the time. You know, there's a lot of verses, New and Old Testament, that talks about sluggard. Slothful, that's the same thing. Means lazy. You know, and if you ever ask somebody, are you lazy? Why, no, I'm not lazy. Well, who's all these scriptures to? Somebody's lazy, right? Oh, this is going over real good. In studying this and everything, I got to thinking to myself, I thought, well, I could be a little lazy in that area. Need to be honest with yourself. If you're going to change or get help, you can't do it without acknowledging there's a problem, right? Or we need to do different. And I thought, well, how many knows you can be so diligent in one area? Or two or three or whatever. And have just one area over here that because you're not diligent in this area, it's hindering you from all these other areas. Just like this, you could be a diligent person to get to work. You get to work on time. You go to work every day you're supposed to. You make good money, but then you're not diligently a good steward over your finances, and you are completely broke all the time. Where if you would couple diligence with both of those areas, you could be a rich man or woman, right? So let's read on here. Where did I get to? Verse 7? Okay. He says, let me go back and read 6, I'm sorry. He says, go to the ant. Now, we've all seen ants, I'm sure. He says, you sluggard, or we would say, you lazy person. Consider her ways and what? Be wise. Wise people are diligent people. He goes on and he says, which having no chief, overseer, or ruler, what's that mean? Nobody makes the ant do what it does. It's in them. That's why they do it. He says, verse 8, provides her food in the summer and gathers her supplies in the harvest. If you're going to do that, you're going to be a diligent person. We have gardened, and then back when we first got married and stuff, before or after Scotty was milking cows and everything and quit doing that. Anyway, and we worked in the field picking tomatoes. Now, I'm telling anybody, his mama was one tomato picker. That woman picked 100 boxes a day, and she's in her 60s at the time. you know, and here I am with my little 15, 20 boxes or whatever. But anyway, I'm not going to get off on that. My point to that is, when the harvest comes, when your tomato crop comes in, you got to do what? That's not everybody. I say right now, that's not everybody. When your crop comes in, peas, tomatoes, corn, you leave corn on there just a little bit too long, that stuff gets hard as a rock and it's fit for nothing but hogs. Why? Because the corn has to be juicy. Can't be hard. That's popcorn. I want no popcorn, right? You want cream corn or corn on the cob. So what's that mean? It means there's a small window of time from the time that it starts coming in to the time that it's not going to be any good. So it don't matter if I don't feel good. It don't matter if it's raining. Right? Lightning storm. When it gets hay season for the farmers that do hay, what do y'all see them doing? They're out there working. They got to cut that stuff and let it lay there. And then they got to run that thing over that fluffs it up, you know, and all this. Why? They got to get it in. Why? Because if they don't, the cows won't have anything to eat because there's no grass in the winter. Can you see the wisdom? So diligent people are wise. They get in the harvest when the harvest gets here. He goes on and he says, verse 9, how long will you sleep, O sluggard or lazy person? When will you arise out of your sleep? Listen, and you can be spiritually asleep. The Bible talks about it in the New Testament. Arise that you've been asleep, right? And Christ will give you light. Verse 10, he says, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to lie down and sleep. So will your wealth come, like a robber? What? Oh, no. I thought for wealth, all I had to do was lay on the couch and make confessions. Are you serious? I thought all I had to do was dream about it. Let's see what he says here, because we want to make sure we do what he says. Says too much sleep, and he says, so will your poverty come like a robber or one who travels with slowly but surely approaching steps, and your want like an armed man making you helpless. Let's see how far I went with that, because I can't remember. Verse 11. Yeah, okay. All right, let's look at, because I got quite a few scriptures down these lines. Let's look at Proverbs 8. Just verse 17 here. Amplified. He says, I love those who love me and those who seek me what? Bedtime. After you went and picked up the kids from school. When? Now, early is usually 9:30. Right? That's one of when you look it up diligently, it means dawn. That means what? Early. I don't think that's daylight. That's before daylight, ain't it? Dawn? Sometime after midnight, but I think before daylight. So that'd be early for a lot of people. And some people get up that way. But notice what he says. He says, and those who seek me early and diligently shall what? Find me. Early and diligently. Something that I see a lot of, we're talking about Christians. We're not going to talk about the lost because they do what they do. But do you realize even the lost, when they do the principles of the word, they get the same results? It's, you don't get them just because you're saved. You get them because you actually do them. That's how come a lot of our laws are good for us, because they came from the Bible. But he says there, for those who seek me early and diligently. If you're going to be a diligent person, you're going to have a time to get up. Thank you, Sandy. If you're going to be a diligent person, I've talked about it before. Like, I deliver food, and used to be a whole lot more than what I do now. On my route, there used to be quite a few of them. And a lot of them at the time was elderly and older, you know, and all of that. And I noticed a lot of them did not have a time to go to bed, did not have a time to get up. They get up whenever they wake up, whether it's late or it's early, get in their chair, eat their breakfast, sit there and watch their Maury Povich or whatever it is, their Jerry Springer or whatever it is they're watching, and then I know y'all ain't never seen that or done that. And they'll do that on and off a half a day. And then they'll eat their lunch, and then they'll get on the phone, and they'll gossip about whoever to whoever about whatever. Y'all not saying nothing. They live undiligently with no purpose in their life. I don't care how old or how young you are, every person has a calling of God, and I'm not talking about ministry. You got that too, but you got a calling in life, just like Scotty. One of his things is he's called to be a businessman here in the earth. God made him that. He's called that. So what's he going to have to do? Be diligent to be a businessman. If he's going to be a successful businessman, he's going to have to be a diligent. Well, what's that mean? His work starts at 7. I come dragging up there at 7:30. Whew, that was a good movie on last night. You don't do that, do you? I'm just kidding. I know he don't do that. Now, sometimes he does stay up a little later. His late is not my late. I just get started when he goes to bed usually. But anyway, oh, that's one reason I have problems. But anyway, I mean, if you're going to be a businessman, he says, make your calling and your election sure. Be diligent about your calling. Well, then you got to get ready. You got to prepare the night before. Get in the bed at a certain time, right? Make sure things are ready to go in the morning. Be there before all your workers get there. Yours is coming. I told you it's in this message. See, one day Scotty won't be there. You know who it's going to fall to? Travis. And if Travis is going to be as successful as his daddy or even more successful, guess what he's going to have to be? As diligent or even more diligent than what his daddy was. What's that mean? No more 5 after 7. No. You can't get there at 5 after 7 and call yourself a diligent person every morning. Now, I can see that 5 after 7 or 10 after whatever, you know what I'm saying. Late for work 1 or 2 times a year or a year or 2 or 3. But if you are late for church and you are late for work and you got a problem, you're lazy somewhere. Now, I'm not telling you where you're lazy at. I don't know. I know where I'm lazy at. I see myself all through here in different areas or whatever. So see, God's not getting on to us or anything, but he wants us to get his promises. He wants us to. He's given them to us. He says they're ours. But he says if you want them, you got to use diligence to add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, right, to brotherly love and all this other stuff if you're going to get them. See, just like this morning, there's Christians been born again. I don't doubt it a bit. That are all over the world laying in the bed this morning, being a sluggard, or what we would call a lazy person or whatever, and want to come climbing out of the bed at 12:30. Of course, church is done over, you know. Or sit there in their pajamas and watch Facebook preaching or whatever on TV or whatever, you know, and then lay there on the couch while they watching it claiming the promises of God. It will not work. Why? Because that's not the way that God said you get it. They're already yours while you're laying on the couch. But it's one reason why some people are not getting it. So if you want the promises of God, you're going to have to start getting out of the bed. You're going to have to start doing the things that he said. If you haven't been reading your Bible, that means you're going to have to start reading your Bible, right? How do you even know what promises has been given to you if you don't even read the love letter that he wrote? You might hear your preacher say it every now and then, but what if he don't tell you all of them? What if he don't tell you the very one that you need at the time? Right? So we need to know ourselves. But he says there, a diligent person is going to be a person that seeks him early with purpose. Let's look at 24, since we're here in Proverbs. This, I didn't realize this was as big as it was till I actually started studying this. Now, I've known some of this, taught on this, or whatever. Let me say this. The Bible talks about, in the book of Hebrews, what is it? Hebrews 4:12. Talks about how the Word of God, it's alive. It's living. This is not like the newspaper. The newspaper's not alive. This is alive with the life of God. It has the Spirit and the breath of God on it. So when we read this word, I'm trying to figure out how to say it. This word never changes. But as we get in this word, renew our mind, do what it says, grow, develop, it will change and rearrange you. And as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, our path gets brighter. You see more deeper into this word than what you saw before. It's been there the whole time, and there's even more than that. But as we do it, as we read it, as we study it, the Bible talks about how that it's food. It's bread for us, right? It's food for our spirit man. And as we eat it and desire the sincere miracle of the word, that we may grow thereby, right? Because it is alive. So we, as we serve the Lord, we should continually be getting more. Some of the best revelation to me is on top of the revelation I already had, just deepened it. It's like God just pulls the curtain back a little bit more on something I've already saw, and it'd be like, wow, God, that's great. I didn't know that was there. And he's like, I know it. Right? I knew it. But here, and listen, God will give you what you desire. What do I mean by that? If his word is precious to you, he will hook you up. He will move heaven and earth to hook you up with the ones and the things that you need hooked up with. Why? Because he knew you would value it. If you value his word, if you value him, if you value his things, he will give you more. Amen? So this word is alive. Did I tell y'all where to go? Proverbs 24? Okay, yeah. I'm in 25 here. That's why it ain't looking right. 33 and 34 in the Amplified. He says, then I beheld and considered it. Oh, that's 32, sorry. Yet a little sleep. Boy, there's a lot of scripture about sleep, ain't they? We only got a few of them. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber. What's that mean? That would probably be like I'm going from the couch to the recliner. When I get up in the morning, I'm just slumbering around there, you know. I mean, when you got purpose, you got a little pep in your step, right? I mean, you're not in a hurry, but I mean, you're not just dragging around there. So he says a little sleep, a little slumber. A little folding of the hands to sleep. He says, so shall your what? Second time that we've read this word poverty and sleep going together. He says, so shall your poverty come as a robber, and your want as an armed man. That's the second time he said that. What was that, in chapter 8 he said it? We just got through reading. So see, there's a lot more. You may say, well, I've been tithing for years. Yeah, well, what else are you doing? See, it's not just one thing. My life consists of my entire life. And there should not be a part of my life that God is not in. He's in all of my life, right? He's in my home life. He's in my marriage. He's supposed to be in my thoughts. He's supposed to be inside of me. He should be in the relationship with my grandkids. He should be in my relationship with you all of my life, right? So you can't just take a scripture out of context and use the promise to a tither and say that's all there is, because it's not. What about faith? What about tithing in faith? Some people, we talked about that, they just throw it in there. They don't tithe that. They just take the right amount of money and they throw it in there and don't think nothing else about it. That's what they're supposed to do. And then the windows of heaven are just supposed to automatically open and all this blessing is supposed to pour it out. What about loving your neighbor? See, I don't care how much you tithe. If you're not loving people, you're already in a wrong spirit, so the spiritual things are not going to work for you. All this stuff is covered. Well, I thought God said that he would supply all of my needs. Well, he did, but go back and read who he said that to. Y'all know who he said it to? Who did he say it to? To the partners in the Philippian church. He said, y'all guys are the only ones, he said, that has contributed to me. Right? To my ministry. But then he says, and my God shall supply everybody's need. He said, yours. So see, when you can't just take scriptures out of context and just apply them. All of this stuff applies. If you want riches and wealth, and it's promised to you by God, well, it's not supposed to lack any good thing, right? To those who what? Walk upright. Do what's right. Love your neighbor. If you run over their car, fix it, right? Whatever the case might be. Y'all might as well get used to this. Ain't so much I think we'll be on this a while. But he says, so shall your poverty come as a robber and your want as an armed man. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, and you most of the time don't see them coming. But he said in the other verse, he said his steps are sure, right? It's coming. You might not see it, but it's coming. Yeah, like a robber. Yeah, and it's kind of like, you know, and you may say, why do this and this and this, and kind of like this. You may hear, some, like I talked about last time, I think, praising the Lord or whatever and singing psalms and hymns and all that, you know, and you might think, well, I'm a praiser and a worshiper. Yeah, but what are you doing the rest of the time that you're not praising and worshiping? Because if you're griping and complaining and all the gossiping and all this, it's like putting a drain, not putting the drain in the bathtub. All your praise and worship's filling up, but it's what happening at the same time. Y'all ever run water in a tub without putting a drain? You'll never get that thing full. Not half full or nothing else. Mine usually gets about like that. And then it just keeps going out. It's going in, but it's going out. Going in, but it's going out. So too much sleeping, too much laziness. You know, and it's not just sleep that is can be laziness. I mean, putting things off. I've noticed myself, in some areas, I've got real bad about putting things off. I've knew quite a few people like this, but this one particular that I'm thinking, I mean, this was a lifestyle for him. And his motto was, why do today what you can put off until tomorrow? And he lived by that. Now, he was a man that, he most of the time always had a car, but he never had anywhere to live. He lives on this friend's couch and that friend's couch and that friend's couch. You know, good guy, nice guy or whatever, help you clean or cook, or he won't work, you know, or anything, because why go to work today when you don't have to go till tomorrow? But by tomorrow and the next day, you're done fired. Y'all see where I'm going with this? There's people, don't procrastinate, in other words. Procrastination is equal to laziness. Why? You get used to, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it after a while. That's kind of like giveaway days. I have to work hard at remembering to read my stuff because I have to get up earlier on giveaway days, which is most of us. So I normally don't do all my reading and confessions of my scriptures and taking my medicine and all that stuff till I get back home after giveaway, because that takes me usually 45 to 55 minutes, you know, and I just ain't into getting up that much earlier than the earlier that I am. So then when I get home, you know, sometimes I'm tired and I'm sleepy and I'll eat me something. Then when I eat, boy, do I really get sleepy. And sometimes I just take me a little nap or whatever, and Scotty's usually gone off wherever he's at and everything. So in other words, what I'm saying here is, then the Holy Ghost will remind me. My, how do I know it's him? Because it's off the wall. I'm not thinking nothing about it. And all of a sudden, inside, up, read your stuff. Read your stuff. I know y'all don't get that. Read your stuff. And I'll be like, I will, but right now, when I get up, I will. Little time will go by, and I'll get in and rest. I'm watching a movie or something other while I'm just laying there resting. You can rest too much. You can rest too much. I hate to say that, but you can. Rest is good. Rest is needful. We got to have it. Our bodies, I mean, it has to have it. But too much rest is not good. And then he'll say, go read your Bible. Go read your chapters and all that. And I'll be like, oh, well, I will, but let me go do this. So my point to that is, I have had days on giveaway days that I have done that almost all day, and then 8, 9, 10 o'clock get here, and I'll be like, ah, what's happened? Revelation, I've not read my stuff. And I'll be like, sorry, Lord, you told me on and off all day. Y'all get what I'm saying about this? Because, see, procrastination leads to laziness, and laziness leads to what? Poverty. Spiritual poverty. I'm not just talking about money. You can be spiritual. You was spiritually bankrupt before you got born again. Then when you get born again, you get wealthy. But how many knows that wealth is supposed to be continually being added to us? We get stronger. We grow. We develop. And all the things that he talked about. Let's look here at some more. Proverbs 10. Since we're in Proverbs, we'll just stay here a little while. Procrastination's not good. The Bible talks about, I don't have it this morning, but the Bible talks about what we do speedily. In other words, when it comes up, get on it. That way you'll never be lazy in that area. Whatever you're doing there, you'll get it done. Because you know what happens after a period of time? Just take a house, for instance. Say your doorknob quit working. I'll do it later. I'll fix it later. Then before you know it, your air conditioner goes out. Ah, yeah. I'm telling you, it's amazing to me what God does. When he comes on the inside, the outside changes. Our place, before we got saved, now one of Scotty's brothers had dumped a lot of cement pieces and stuff in the yard before we had moved over there or whatever, so that wasn't good. But this is how we was. The air conditioner go out. We just either go find a used one wherever you can get it or steal it, or if you got money, you go to Walmart and buy it. Chunk that one out the window. Just kick it on out the window and put the new one in and carry on. And you just leave it there. And then before you know it, you had a flat tire and you go out there because you got to go somewhere, so you got to change the flat. You change the flat tire and you put your spare on and you just kind of roll the other one over there beside the driveway. Y'all get where I'm going with this? Well, then before you know it, you come down the road and it's like, golly bum, that's a junkyard out there. I wonder who lives over there. We get saved. It's amazing. God comes in and starts bringing order to chaos and cleaning up on the inside. And before you know it, we're like, God, that's just that air conditioner laying over there. That just don't look good, does it? Well, let's just get it cleaned up and get it put over there. Hey, bring that tire over there. Before you know it, it's clean. To at one point, we had people stopping on the side of the road when we would be outside, and they'd say, you have the prettiest place. This looks like a golf course out here. And they're like, can we have some of that hosta? That's the prettiest hosta I've ever saw. And I'm like, sure, you know, whatever y'all want. Remember when the truck driver stopped wanting the hosta? Whatever. It's amazing to me that God can do that. But you know how he got to there? We didn't keep saying, ah, it's okay. Ah, I'll do it tomorrow. Why put off to tomorrow what you can do today, and then you have tomorrow free if nothing comes up? Woo, that's what I'm looking for. Movie if I got time. But no movie till my work gets done. Right? A lot of times what our flesh likes to do, movie and then we'll do work. Now yours may not be movie. Maybe yours is sitting at the coffee shop. Maybe yours is talking on the phone. I don't know what yours is. But how many knows we all got them somewhere that we could all be more diligent in some area? Because I don't think any of us have arrived to the fullness of diligence. Right? So we all can work on it in some area. Let's get on here to some more scripture. What did I tell y'all? Proverbs 10? We didn't read that, did we? I'm glad y'all keep up because this talking gets me distracted. Verse 4, Amplified. He becomes poor. Gosh, that, I'm telling you, these poverty scriptures are something else, aren't they? He becomes poor who works with a what? Slack and idle. Jesus said, occupy, right? Do business. Get on your business and do it. He becomes poor who works with a slack and idle hand. But the hand of the diligent does what? Oh, there's my money. There's my spiritual blessing, right? My spiritual richness. There's my weight loss. There's my muscle, right? Whatever it is that your thing is, there it is. He says, a diligent hand. Now look at this. He says, he becomes poor who works with a slack hand. The Bible talks about in the New Testament how that we're not supposed to be men pleasers with eye service, right? So what's that mean? That would be one of those kind of like, just for an example or whatever. Say this is normally your thing, you know. Say there's a break room, two or three are standing around, you're just dragging around, just slumbering, you know, and all of that. And somebody says, the boss is coming. You're like, 1, 2, 3. Oh, yes, yes, I'll be right on that. 1, 2. And then he goes out the room and you're like, oh, I'm going to get some coffee and take a break. I know y'all never do that. Nobody in here does or would. People, Christian people, all over the place are doing that. You are working with a slack hand. But quoting the scriptures about promotion comes from the Lord. Y'all didn't hear that, did you? Don't it say that? Promotion comes from the Lord? Well, guess what? He'll call somebody to see you when you're on it, when you're diligent. Sometimes I have people, kids, and different things that comes over at the house to work, and I tell them, you know, working for me is different than working for Scotty. Scotty will tell you what to do, and he goes off lollygagging because he's got business over yonder. I am one, I'm going to work with you. We are going to do this and this and this. Why? Because I know you. If I leave you alone, you don't work. You do slack till you see me looking. And then you get busy. How many knows that should not ever be said of Christians? Christians should do their work. Bible says how? As unto the Lord, right? We're talking New Testament scriptures. But we're combining them with the old here. Do our work as unto the Lord. What's that mean? It means I work just as hard when the boss is around looking at me as what he is not. Why? Because all my co-workers are looking at me. God is looking at me. And I don't know about you. I want promotion. I don't want poverty. I want riches. I want promotion. I want to be the top dog at my job, so to speak, or whatever, right? Well, how are you going to get there? Not being lazy. Not being late, but being diligent. Oh, God forbid. And this one on the road, when you're driving. Oh, God, can't you go the speed limit? I'm going to be late for church. No, y'all ain't never did that. Ain't never thought that. Ain't never said that, so I'm looking straight ahead here. No, she actually goes faster than what she did. But anyway, we're not on her or whatever. So you're telling me the car in front of you has just laid out your whole day. They don't even know you, okay? They didn't know you was going to be on the road at this time. Excuse me. And they were diligent and got up early. So guess what they get to do? Look at that cow over there. I don't remember no cows over there. God, that house burnt down over there. Oh, I know the service is going to be good today. We just praise the Lord. Then you got this undiligent, slothful, slacking, lazy person behind you. Can't you go the speed limit? Good Lord, they made it a speed limit for a reason. You're going to run me late. What's the problem with all this? Me. I was undiligent. Diligent people think ahead. They're wise, right? They think about how long, I know exactly how long just about it takes me to get to church if I don't get behind these people. But guess what I need to do? Factor in these people for going to church. It's better for me to be here early than it is to be late. Because if I am 9 minutes till, Elizabeth is getting a little red. Why? Her limit is 10 minutes until service or I'm going to cut you off. That's what she told me. 10 minutes. You got 10 minutes, Teresa. She just says it in a nice way where I'd say, you got 10 minutes, buddy. I'll tell you right now, you cut off. Beth says it to me in a nice way. Okay. I think 10 minutes, I can do it in 10 minutes. As long as everybody's here by 10 minutes. Well, you're not here by 10 minutes. Well, just get your stuff and come on up here because that's cut off. Whose fault is that? Beth? Beth, you should have been faster at getting that up there now. It's my fault. I wasn't going to have time this morning. I was hurrying. But do you see what I'm telling you? The point that I'm trying to make, it doesn't matter what it is. Whether you're driving on the highway, if you want to be somewhere on time, factor in things that could happen. Leave a little earlier. That means you may have to get up a little earlier, not get as much sleep. Why? Because you're going to be a diligent person. And nobody can stop you from being a diligent person if you choose to be one. But if you don't, your life will not be near as good if you're lazy and slothful and slacking as it will. I'm talking about just naturally. I'm not even talking about with God. We got people that they don't serve God, and they are diligent. I mean, they're early to work, early to rise. They're first one there, last one to leave. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And these people get the promotions. Why? Because sometimes employers, most times, they don't care if you're saved or lost. Just do the job I pay you to do and do it the best that you can. So you don't even got to be saved. But now it helps if you are. Because we got a comforter, a helper, right? A strengthener, a standby here on the inside that will help us to be diligent. Oh, my goodness. I ain't got to have my scriptures. I'm sorry. But it's 10 till. Diligent don't go over either. It tries to pay attention. I got to stop because our time is up. But like I said, I think we're going to be on this for a while because we're really not even scratched the surface yet. But it's just something to get us thinking in line with, you know. If you want more of the Lord and the things of God. Do what He said do. Just start somewhere. You know, don't start like a house of fire and think you got to work on all these things at one time. Because you know what I have found? I have found the more diligent that I am in my serving the Lord, my reading, my chapters, and going to church, you know, and taking my medicine, which is the Word, and different things. My house is cleaner, Sandy. I don't try to do that. But when I don't, Scotty's still got wrapping papers over there, you know, and there's dirty dishes in the sink. But I noticed that. One area of diligence will help you be more diligent in another area when you start doing it. I've got to stop because our time is up. Does anybody have anything they'd like to say or comment before we close?